Hi, this is Damon Pastolka, host of The Faces of Business, where I talk with interesting people sharing life and business experiences to entertain, engage, build community, and provide information to help others succeed. If you're interested in learning more about one of our guests or how we are helping business owners generate wealth and build businesses they can sell or succeed at Exit Your Way, you can find more information on our website, exityourway.com, or by contacting me directly, damon@exityourway.com. I hope you enjoy the show. Welcome once again to the Faces of Business. I'm your host, Damon Pastolka. With me today, I have none other than the real Jason Duncan. Jason, thanks for being here today.
I'm glad to be here, man. You were just on one of my lives yesterday, so we're spending a lot of time together these days.
Yeah, that's for sure. We didn't even plan it like that, but it worked out. So today we're going to be talking about something that you're helping people do every day, every minute, thinking about it, trying to help people, and that's exiting your business without exiting.
That is right.
So, Jason, let's start off, first of all, with a little bit about your background. And we'll talk about your TEDx speech. We'll talk about your other businesses and stuff. But let's just start out and talk about your background, because you didn't go to college thinking you were going to be a business owner or a coach or anything like that. Let's just start back there.
No, I wanted to be, when I was a kid, I wanted to design cars for a living. I've always liked cars. As a matter of fact, if I turn the camera around, there's probably no less than 24 model cars and motorcycles in my office. I've always been a car guy. I love cars. And I wanted to design cars. So I got accepted to 2 art colleges. I was going to be an industrial designer. That was the plan. But mm-hmm. I grew up in a family very much dedicated to following Jesus. And we were very involved in our church. And I went to church camp as a kid every single summer. And I even started, when I was old enough, I started being a counselor at camp as in my teenage years. And the summer between my junior and senior year of high school, I remember going to camp one summer as a counselor and had this experience where we were like all the counselors were up at night after all the campers have gone to bed. And we're just talking late at night, looking up at the stars, laying on our back out in the field next to the fire pit. And I remember feeling like having the sense of like, this is what I want to feel like every day for the rest of my life. And what I equated that to in my young 17-year-old brain was, if I serve other people, if I'm helping other people, this is what I'll feel like. So I made a decision kind of right then and there that I was going to go into youth ministry. And I changed everything about what I wanted to do as a career, because I knew that designing cars, as much as I love them, it's probably not going to give me that same feeling. So I ended up going into ministry school, or got a degree in youth ministry, spent 13 years in pastoral ministry, and thought I would be doing it for the rest of my life, but I got sick of it. I got to the place where I just couldn't do it anymore. And for people that are watching and listening who grew up in churches and you probably know what I'm talking about, it just got to the point where I was tired of the machine. I still love Jesus, nothing to do with him, but it's like the machine I was not interested in anymore. So I went back to school, got a master's in education, started teaching 8th grade American history, and fell in love with, again, teaching. And that close feeling of being with kids every day, teaching, serving. And I would be doing that still to this day had it not been for the Great Recession coming out of 08, 09. And my teaching contract didn't get renewed the next school year because they had to cut teaching positions, even though I was the best teacher in the county, according to all test scores, et cetera. And I didn't have tenure. I was the last guy hired. Mm-hmm. And that made me, that's when I became an accidental entrepreneur, started a business in 2010. And my life has been very different ever since then.
So it is very interesting speaking with business owners, as you and I do daily, how many accidental entrepreneurs there really are.
It's true.
Yeah, out of necessity, be put into a situation that they, you know, it was their only option. So 2010, you're an accidental entrepreneur. How did you decide what business that you were going to go into?
So that's a kind of a funny story. I had a friend of mine in 2010. He was an older gentleman that we had known through our church, just associations. And he was a former business owner, and he had one of the largest ethanol steels in all of the Southeast. And his business had failed. He had fallen on hard times, but he was still this mad scientist kind of guy. He really knew how to put, like, make stuff, just invent things. And so I didn't really know that all about him until one day in February, I think it was February, late February of 2010, he called me, and I was still teaching school at the time. Cause my contract didn't get renewed until the next school year.
Yeah.
But so he comes to me and he says, "Hey Jason, I've got this idea for a hydrogen generator. You're really good. You got a gift of gab. You're good at sales." Cause I'd also during my ministry career had been involved in life and health insurance sales as a way to supplement my income. He goes, "You're good at sales. Like, let's start this business and create this hydrogen generator." And we started this business called Future Vision Energy, really against my desires. I didn't want to quit teaching. I never intended to go into business, but he was persistent, and we did it. And it was kind of a weekend and night thing. We worked on it, and it was interesting and cool. And I didn't know anything about what we were building. It was neat, but I was just the grunt helping him do it, even though it was kind of my business, because I was the one that got the money and set up the LLC and all that kind of stuff. Well, when the teaching thing quit, like when I knew the following spring of 2011, when I knew I wasn't going to be teaching in the fall of 2011, I just looked at what I had. I took stock of what was available. And so this is kind of one of the keys to success that I teach is preparation. What are you prepared to be successful in? And I was looking at what I'm prepared to be successful in. I said, well, I have this company called Future Vision Energy. It's around energy, but I'm not really into the alternative energy thing, but I bet energy conservation, what could I do in that vein and keep this business going? So I started looking for ideas, and LED lighting at that time was super early in the industry. And I thought, you know what? I could do this. I could sell LED lighting. So that was the decision I made. It's like, I already have this energy thing. And my business partner wasn't interested in it at all. Thought it was, he didn't think it was a dumb idea, but he wasn't into it. So we parted ways. I kept the business, and I told my wife, I said, "Baby, if I don't get a contract, make any money by August the 15th, I'll do something different." And that date is important because that was the last day I was getting paid from the state as a teacher.
Yeah.
And so on August the 12th of 2011, I pitched the pitch of my life at a hospital here in Middle Tennessee, and we won the contract. It turned out to be a 3-year, $2.3 million contract. And it was an unbelievable start to my career as an entrepreneur.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love the founder stories, you know, out of the necessity you created a business, and your business is still running today.
Yeah. Yeah. I still own it. I'm not involved in day-to-day operations. I have a team of four vice presidents that run it. And I've got a CEO that comes in and manages day-to-day stuff, like from a high level. And I still own it, but I'm not involved at all. And that's the way I like it.
Yeah. That's good stuff, because you're living what you're teaching people to do.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I do what I do now as a coach, is when I exited, I didn't exit that business to become a coach to teach other people how to do it. I did it because I just knew that that wasn't what God put me on the earth for. Like, there's something else to this life rather than me working 80 hours a week selling LED lighting projects and running electrical contracting crews. Like, there's got to be something else. I didn't know what it was. I went through probably a 4-month identity crisis where I was really didn't know what the heck I was, because I'd introduced myself as the president and CEO of this company for so long. Now I really wasn't. So who am I? And then it kind of occurred to me through the process of just talking to friends and other entrepreneurs and commiserating with my business coaches and consultants, you know, what am I going to do? And they said, well, I bet other people would want to do what you did. You exited without exiting. I bet they would want to learn how to do that. And I went, wait a minute. I'm good at teaching. That's the thing that's my superpower. So let me do that. And sure enough, it's worked out, and my business is growing quite significantly.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because when you set your business up, how good were you at really setting it up in the initial for you to be ready for exit when you wanted to?
Yeah, you're talking about the lighting company?
The lighting company, yeah.
No, it was a job, man. It was pure necessity of survival. So I was the chief everything. So yeah. We didn't hire our first employee and for 3 years. So I was working out vendor contracts, I was working out construction crews, installers, licensing, banking, accounting, sales. I did everything. And for mm-hmm. me, it was just a matter of survival. I wanted to do it all. And it's because I was an accidental entrepreneur, I didn't know any better. I didn't know that you shouldn't do that. I didn't know the stat that you shared with me yesterday that the valuation of a business is 50% less when the owner is involved. And I didn't know that. It didn't even occur to me. I was just surviving. And it wasn't until 2017 that I finally, somebody put the smelling salts in front of me and I started waking up like, wait a minute, this is not the way this is supposed to go.
Yeah. So it was 7 years. It was 7 years in your business before you decided I gotta change something here.
Yeah. And it was a rude awakening too, because and we could get into a lot of this stuff, but I had my original business partner, we parted ways. And then when I started the lighting company, I brought in a different guy to kind of be mentor, which I think is a terrible reason to bring a business partner on. You can get mentorship. You can pay for that. You don't have to get equity. But anyway, I brought him in to kind of mentor and help. And he actually had the contact at that first hospital. So to his credit, I mean, he did help me. So there, it wasn't that he had provided no value. There's a whole long dramatic story behind that whole thing. But anyway, I wanted to hire a business coach early. I didn't even know they existed, but when I heard that they existed, there's coaches for what I'm doing. I thought only coaches coach football and baseball. I didn't know there were I heard life coaches, but I didn't know there were business coaches. I didn't know there's such a thing. We need one. And my business partner who was older than me had been very successful in his own right. Oh, we're smart enough. We don't need a business coach. So for 7 years, I just acquiesced, even though I was the majority owner of the business. I was the CEO. I was the day-to-day guy. I just acquiesced to what he thought. And then when 2017, I just said, you know, damn it, I'm hiring a business coach. We're doing this. We need it. It's not that we're suffering. We're actually making a lot of money. I mean, we were pulling in a lot of profit through those years. And when I hired that business coach, sat down, got through the first initial onboarding. And it was he who first pointed out to me that I was trapped in my own business. Yeah. Like he was the first guy to go, you know, like this is a job for you, right? And I didn't even hire him to tell me that. That wasn't even the purpose. I just wanted to make my business better. And that started my whole process of thinking, rethinking, I should not be the daily guy. I don't need to be involved in this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, you hear it because you'd heard it before then, right? You'd heard it before then, the whole thing. You've probably read the E-Myth, and there's a gazillion other books that say work on your business, not in your business, all this kind of stuff. But, you know, you're paying somebody to help you with your business. And when that coach turns around and says exactly what you knew you needed to do, but just didn't do, it's like, hey, I can't eat four burgers if I want to try to lose weight, right? I can't do that. I got to cut it back to one or whatever. So what made you go over the edge and say, I'm in on this. I'm going to change this.
I don't remember any one single thing other than mm-hmm. this one conversation I can point to. So I was talking to my coach at the time, BJ, his name is BJ Howard. He has since passed away. A very, very sad story, but I was talking to BJ when I became aware, awareness is the key to recovery for everything. If you're going to get over alcoholism or drug addiction, sex addiction, you know, you got to be aware of it. And so as I was coming into this awareness, kind of waking up, smelling salts, I was waking up to, I'm trapped. My first response was, let's sell the company, because we were profitable. We had won Inc. 5000. We were one of the fastest growing privately held companies in the country. We were nationally recognized. We were profitable. Good. Everything looked good on paper. Now, we weren't doing, we weren't doing eight figures. We're still doing, we're high seven figure company. But he said, Jason, it it ain't worth anything. And I said, what do you mean it's not worth anything? We pulled in like $1 million last year in profit. Yeah. I mean, it was crazy.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
And he's like, made a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's got to be worth something.
It's got to be worth something. And he's like, no, it's not. And he started to explain why. And I said, well, let's try to sell it anyway. And so we toyed with that concept for probably a month and realized that this is a fool's errand, because and you know this better than I do, to prep the business for sale would have taken 3 to 5 years to get the books the right way, to get everything corrected that we didn't do right for 7 years. It would have taken another 3, maybe 5 to prep it. And I don't think entrepreneurs understand that. I know you do, because that's what you do every day. And so I was like, okay, what are the other options? And he didn't really have one. He, because the exit without exiting thing, at least the way I teach it, didn't exist at that time. And so I just started marinating on, well, how do I set up the systems and processes? How do I delegate? And that's what I did. I started deep diving into delegation, what that means, really invested in understanding that, and started testing out ways to delegate, hiring the right people, investing in the right people, systems and processes. I got my sales system systematized where it didn't rely on me anymore. And I started extracting myself from the spider web that I had created. And as I did that, I started to realize, wait a minute, this is the way out. I don't have to sell it because I'm making really good money. Yeah. The profit, we're profitable. Everything's going well. What if I just kind of pulled back and I'm the owner investor rather than the owner operator? Mm-hmm. And when I started to realize that, that is when I said, I think I'm onto something here. And it probably took me 3 years, maybe 2.5 years to fully get that plan put in place. But certainly it was a lot faster than going back and prepping a business for sale the right way in the books, because we didn't really make a lot of changes in the books. We changed a little bit of our bookkeeping, but it was mainly just operate as we had, but Jason's not there. That was really what it amounted to.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the big thing that people don't realize. And you talk about this in your TED talk, and I think that's one of the things I want to cover a little bit too, because you know, the art of delegation, and I say it's art because it's part of it's the act of doing and how you do it and everything else. It's when you get good at that, you can actually start to work on your business. And until you get good at that, you hear a lot of, or you're thinking a lot of this, well, it's just easier if I do it rather than have somebody else or these other things. So you're sitting here and you're taking this time to do it. Let's talk a little bit about in your TED talk. God, I wrote the ironic prison of entrepreneurship. I love the title of it. You talk about delegating in there and the different ways around it, but confiscation, abdication, and the other things that you're talking about around delegation. But so did you study delegation and how to do it properly before you started, or like, hey man, I'm just starting to extract myself and we're putting it in? And what was your real thought process around?
Well, it was kind of on the job thing, right?
Yeah.
I was studying it and doing it. I was studying it and doing it. And I had really good employees. I still do to this day. The four vice presidents are just rock solid. I even give them a shout out in my TED talk, but they are really, really great employees. They do fantastic work. And they're not entrepreneurs. Like there's entrepreneurs in the world. There's employees, they're employees. That doesn't make them any less valuable than entrepreneurs or any more. It's just what it is. And I looked at that and said, okay, they're not going to make decisions the same way I am. So I've got to set up structures that protect their ability to make decisions freely on a day-to-day basis without needing me to come in and guide them. So I set up those systems and processes. We started having these executive leadership team meetings, ELT meetings on a regular basis. And then we would go around and do reports. You tell us what's going on. What about this? And I would slowly extract myself from those meetings. And I would only show up maybe once every month to those meetings and let them do it. They just report back. And I slowly did it over time. And as I learned, if I entrusted them with that and I empowered them with that, and not just assigned a task, but if I had trusted them, empowered them, and assigned them tasks to do, they could pull it off. Now, what really put a, you know, kind of a monkey wrench in the whole thing was COVID. We didn't, obviously nobody expected that to happen. Well,
yeah,
somebody expected it to happen because they made millions of dollars off of it, but I digress. But nobody, none of us business owners expected the world to go nuts in 2020. Yeah. So I stepped away in January 2020, and I was just having like weekly phone calls and monthly meetings. I wasn't even meeting. And I'm in Florida on vacation with my family in the middle of March when the whole world shut down, and they're calling me freaking out like, oh my gosh, if we don't lay people off today, we're going to be out of business tomorrow because our cash flow dried up to nothing overnight. They weren't entrepreneurs that could make those decisions. So I had to step back in a little while, but that also trained me a little better. I learned through the, you know, what an entrepreneur is versus what an employee is.
Yeah.
There's things entrepreneurs can do that employees can't. They can't see through things the way entrepreneurs can. So I had to navigate through the waters of COVID, and we were able to navigate successfully through those waters. Thank God. But it was on the job training, just like anything else. But I now know it probably better than anybody. I know how to delegate.
Well, and that's why I wanted to talk about it a little bit, because you're teaching people how to exit their businesses without exiting. And it starts with delegation and doing that. And you're coming from a point of having to do it initially, working through some pretty tough situations, and now continuing to do it and continuing to make sure that, because you can't, your business success may not totally be in your hands today, which it's not, but ultimately, if something, as an owner of a business, there are, as you said, a real critical thing. There are things that only you're going to be able to decide or do. There just are. And you still have to make those decisions. And that's part of this, understanding how to exit your own business without exiting. There are still ownership level decisions that have to be made by you. Might not be often, but you still have to be involved at least that much if you really want the long-term success, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're right, 100%. You've got, when you're looking at what an owner's responsibility is, it really boils down to three things. A founder's responsibility is to, first of all, set the vision for the company, because that is his responsibility. Second is to communicate that vision to everyone on the team. Because if just having the vision is not good enough, it's got to be communicated. Mm-hmm. So the owner, the founder, his job is to set the vision, communicate the vision. And then the third role is to build the asset. And by building the asset, that is what provides you the wealth generation machine that we talked about yesterday on my live. It's the way that your business now becomes an asset in and of itself, rather than just a job that you perform and a function that you have to fulfill so that you get paid. So if the founder will commit to those three things and will not get involved in things that aren't related to setting the vision, communicating the vision, and building the asset, that business not only is going to be worth more money, but the lifestyle of that founder is going to improve to the place that he wanted to begin with. That's the role of the founder.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. And you talk about this in your TED talk. You talk about the, you know, the people that are running, you know, 9-10 digit companies. They're good delegators, because they can't be doing all this. And it really is that key. And then understanding the decisions that you do need to make is how you build it. And you said, build that asset, that the people, the systems and everything else, and make sure that's going right is really their priority. Not knowing the intimate details of the business so much.
Yeah. Well, building that asset. I mean, think about, there's so many different ways that asset can be built. That asset can be built by, you can buy real estate, you can buy property that's in the company's name that builds, you know, long-term passive income. But there's other things you can do. We talked about it when you were sharing yesterday about creating a defendable market position where you have something unique that nobody else can do. You got to innovate. I mean, think about what Apple did. Apple didn't invent the computer. Apple didn't invent a cell phone. Apple didn't invent an MP3 player, but they took all three of those things and changed them and innovated them in such a way that really, frankly, in many ways, nobody could compete in that market for a long time and for certain reasons. So you can build an asset by building an app. You can build an app. You can do a proprietary process that nobody else does. You might have a certain invention. And if the founder is involved every day in the business, pushing paperwork around, closing deals, and being the face of the company, he or she doesn't have time to think about how to build the asset because they're too busy in the melee of every day. They've got to get out of that in order to build the asset. And so if a founder right now, you founders who are listening to this, if you've spent your whole day working in your business, as Michael Gerber says in the book, The E-Myth, if you're in the business every day, you don't have time to build the asset. So no wonder your business is not more valuable than it is, than it should be, than it can be, right? So you got to work on getting yourself out of the business. Focus on setting the vision, communicating the vision, building the asset. That's it. That's your job. Do that and you're good. And that's what I show entrepreneurs how to do. That's why I'm a coach.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that is, that time to build that asset is critical. And that's one of the things a lot of entrepreneurs get stuck in is the fact that they think they need to be around the business, right? They feel like they have to be there. Not really because they need to, because they feel that way. But if you truly want to be that founder that's going to go to the next level and the level beyond that, the bigger your business gets, the more you need to be able to build the asset and drive innovation more than, and not even being that the idea person in innovation, right? Because innovation doesn't mean that I figured out the next best way to do something or something like that. It can be empowering your team to do it and then just asking better, good questions.
Right.
But that time away is so key, because if you're in the fight, all the time, all you feel is the fight. You don't understand how to get better at fighting because you're too busy fighting. And that's the one thing that I really see as we help owners do that in their companies, is that transition from I'm the answer person, I'm the technical wizard, I'm the key hub in this business, to now I can step back. It becomes fun in different ways. Because, they're solving these technical problems, they're solving these other things. But when you can come back and talk about the vision and go, what if we figured this out? That's when it really gets fun, because then you can challenge your team and watch them grow.
Yeah, I think entrepreneurs in general just don't spend enough time thinking. They don't spend enough time really pouring into the most valuable asset that you have in your body, and that's your brains. Like, what can you think? Because we're so busy do, you know, we got to do stuff all the time, and we get involved in the do too much, and we're not actually thinking, we're not getting involved in how can we do it. And that's one of the reasons I do once a month, I plan a strategic thinking and planning day, and I take no calls, no meetings, everything's shut down on the books. I try not to get on the computer unless the computer is required for what I'm trying to work, you know, if I'm doing some research. But I've got a chair on the other side of my office. I'll just sit. I'll get a whiteboard. I'll get up and whiteboard. And if anybody walked in on that day, they may think I'm not working. And in fact, I'm probably doing the best work that I'm doing the whole month. And I train my clients to pick out days of their month and do the same thing, because having that one day a month to just really, and if you could do it every week, it's even better. If you can plan half a day that's all you do for half a day. I do it once a month and it works for me, but really think, what's the next big strategy? What's the next big opportunity? And I've had some of my biggest breakthroughs on those days. As a matter of fact, I sat down. I've been coaching sales for a long time. Even before I quit being CEO of the company, I'd coach sales teams. I still coach sales. A lot of my clients hire me to coach their sales teams too, even though that's not my core business. But one of the things I coach people to do is coming up with these belief statements about what do you believe about why you're doing what you're doing? And communicate that. Well, I've coached that for years and I didn't have belief statements as a coach. And so one of my planning days, it was 2 or 3 months ago, I sat down for the first time and I was like, you know what? I need to do this. And it was hard at first because I was used to doing all this stuff. And I thought, I got to come up, what do I believe? And I came up with these 10 belief statements now that are core to who I am as a coach. And one of those belief statements is, I don't believe, or I guess I do believe, I believe that business ownership is not the point. Rather, the business should provide the financial resources to live the life that you want. That's the point. And that's a belief I have. And so if you as a potential client of mine believe the same thing, I could work with you because we believe the same thing. But if you believe the business ownership is the point and you just want to work in it every day until you're 80, okay, I'm not your guy. There's other guys that can help you. I'm not your guy because I don't want to do that. I believe that everybody needs a coach. I believe that wholeheartedly, which is why I do what I do every day, because a coach can give you perspective that you can't get on your own. That's just like that meeting I had with BJ sometime in 2017 when he told me that my business wasn't worth anything. Okay, that's not a perspective that I would have ever reached on my own. He was the one that helped me. So I sat down and wrote those on my strategic planning and thinking day. Now, that, Damon, makes my business as a coaching business worth more money because now I've crystallized the things that I stand for and what I believe in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome because the coaches, you do get perspective. You just don't find from other places. Well, you can't see yourself. Let's be honest. We don't see the things that we don't see. That's right. Like we don't know the things we don't know.
That's like when you listen to your voice on recording. Do I? Or you see yourself on a video, like, ooh, I need to lose some weight. You know, whatever. Yeah. You get a different perspective. You just need somebody else to say, hey, this is what it looks like. Because as business owners, we're looking through blinders. We're focused.
Yeah. We need
somebody to pull those blinders back for us and go, hey, did you notice this? Did you notice this?
Yeah. Yeah. So, and the funny thing is, now this is... I wonder if you get this because we talked yesterday and we talked about the fact that in my experience that if the owner involvement is too high, it's oftentimes a binary decision in the sale of a business. They won't buy them. Buyers won't buy them. You're too involved, too much risk, blah, blah, blah. We're not talking about the sale of the business. And I'm talking about businesses that can make tens of millions of dollars a year in profit. I mean, these are very successful businesses that can't be sold because the owners are too involved. Do you find that people, owners, founders, because of their success, doubt that they can exit the business like you're teaching them to do? I mean, they're just, there's no way because it is successful because of me.
Yeah. That is 100% the reason I have a job because people do believe that. And I said this in a recent, I run a mastermind called the Exeter Club, and it's for male entrepreneurs who are seeking to live the exit lifestyle. How do they get to that place where the business doesn't need them? Mm-hmm. And we had a meeting, we had a session about, I don't know, it was 2 months ago. I don't know how long ago it was. And one of the guys that was on a hot seat, I'm not going to say his name because if he happens to be listening, he'll know I'm talking about him. But he said, when I was talking about delegation, he was on a hot seat. He was talking about what he needed to do. And I was telling him, man, I'll call him Bob. His name's not Bob. But I said, Bob, you've got to delegate. You've got to get somebody else who can do those things that you're doing now. And he responded honestly by saying, well, you're right, but I'm the only one who can do that. I'm the only one that can do that. And again, there was an honest response because he truly believes that. But was it true? Because you can be honest and not be true.
Yeah.
And I said, Bob, listen to how arrogant you sound right now. And he was like, what? And I said, and everybody kind of snickered a little bit. I said, listen, man, how arrogant is it for you to say that you're the only person who could do what you do? So that means before you showed up on planet Earth, that could have never got done. Like you didn't know how to do it at one point and you learned and you can teach someone else. Now there's going to be a dip. And I always talk about you can survive the dip. When you step away and let somebody else do it, there's going to be this dip, but you'll survive the dip. And you know what? He took that like a champ. And as a matter of fact, on our last meeting, just the other day, we had a meeting, last Thursday, we had an Exeter Club meeting because I was out of town and I did it from my RV. And we were going around talking about what we're grateful for. And we always do that in our meetings. Give me one thing you're grateful for. And we go around and he goes, and one of the things he said, unprompted by me, he goes, I'm grateful that Jason told me I was arrogant so that I could get out of my own way. And I realize it now, and I'm working towards delegation. And I was like, yes, somebody gets it, because it is arrogance. It's, we think we're the only one. I was the best salesperson at my company for years. Mm-hmm. And I could outsell anybody. I was always looking for a salesperson who's better than me. But does that mean I'm really the best salesperson on planet Earth for what I'm doing? Well, no, there are other people that could do it. And so when I stepped away, my VP of sales kind of took that vacuum that I left. Mm-hmm. And did he outperform me at first? No, but today he does. Mm-hmm. Like, so I just had to get the hell out of the way.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is a hard thing for people to realize that, you know, and for some it's ego, it's some it's they want to feel like they're important. But really, when you're looking at creating that asset that you said, build that asset that generates wealth, it really needs to be built beyond the founder. And, you know, past success still doesn't change the fact that your business is not worth nearly as much if you're still too involved in it. And it does it because, and that's the thing that we run into day in and day out is, hey, I make a lot of money with my business. You're telling me it's not worth anything. And I'm going to be honest, in the sale of businesses, the industry itself, there's people that'll tell you what you want to hear. And I know coaching, same way, you're going to have people here wanting to hear, but is that what you really want to know? Or do you look for the truth?
Yeah,
I guess. But so let's talk about something else just for a second. You've got some group coaching that you're doing. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So one of the things that I did when I started coaching is, I started coaching just individually. So people would pay me a monthly fee. We'd meet a couple times a month, and I'd strategically work with them through their projects, whatever they're working on, give them. And I didn't really have a framework. I was just working on as a responsive coach. They would say, here's an issue. And I would go, okay, based on my knowledge, expertise, experience, and perspective, here's what I think you should do. They would implement it to whatever success, mm-hmm. and they would work that. And that worked. And I still do a little bit of that today, although not very much at all. The only people that I coach one-on-one are my VIP clients that pay me a lot of money that want 100% access to my time. And I go visit them on site. And, you know, that's my VIP all access coaching. But I don't do monthly fee coaching anymore. But at one point I was doing this monthly fee coaching and I thought, you know, I'm a really good teacher. That's what I'm good at. I just need to get a group of these people together and I could teach this framework that I've come up with, these four things, this, you know, embrace delegation, which we've already talked about, establish or eliminate system, eliminate stress, establish systems and processes, and invest in people. Those are the four core principles that I use to get out of my own way and quit being arrogant and, you know, all those things. And so I thought that I just need to create a group opportunity to get people in. And so I started something called the Business Accelerator, and it's a group coaching cohort model. So it's no more than 12 people. And as a cohort, it's everybody is working together towards the same outcome. So it's not just independent people who have no interaction. Us 12 people it's up to 12. Sometimes I have groups of two or three, but we work together through these four core principles over 8 weeks. The Business Accelerator, the next one starts next Thursday, September 1st. Mm-hmm. You know, I would love for any of your listeners or viewers that are interested, you can go to exitwithoutexiting.com. And you can apply to be a part of the next one. I don't let everybody in. It's not for everybody. But if it's for you and you will invest the time and money to do it, it'll absolutely change your life. You will walk away from that with tools and tricks to immediately put in place in your business that'll get your butt out of the business so that you can go on to do other things. And I'll tell this one story. I had a guy that went, I met a guy. I was on vacation in Jamaica with my wife. And he's from New York. He was on vacation there with his wife. And we got to talking as people do. And we found out, oh, he's an entrepreneur. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a business coach. And he was asking me what I did. And I told him, I said, well, I help people exit without exiting, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, well, you know, I'm not interested in exiting. You know, my company's doing really well, making good money. I love what I'm doing. And I said, I get it. That's what everybody says. Yeah, but the reality is, like, if money wasn't an object, would you really do this every day? He was like, probably not. And I said, well, take this course. And he did, to his credit. He trusted the dude he met in Jamaica, and he took the course. He went through the group coaching cohort. And at the end, I do an exit interview with everybody just to see, what'd you think? How'd it go? What could I do better? And he said, Jason, I told you at the beginning I didn't want to exit. I still don't want to exit. He said, but I will tell you what this course allowed me to do. I said, really? Tell me. He goes, I've been wanting to open up another division of my company for years. Yep. I didn't have time. He said, but you freed up. You showed me how to free up over 60% of my time. And now I can spend time opening that other division. I'm like, okay, that's success to me. So that's what the Business Accelerator does.
And you make a great point there. Because you're teaching, yes, some people are going to exit their business without exiting, like you're showing people so they can go off and do completely other things. But when you're talking about someone that continues to have bigger and bigger goals with their business, your courses will help them be able to do that, because you have to go bigger, go better, whatever you want to be. You have to elevate and delegate, as the guys in Traction will say. And the only way to do that is to learn how to get yourself freed up from your existing business to be able to go and do the other work. Especially, you bring up such a good point, because I've got family that has businesses in the oil fields, right? So when you do oil field business, as you're not in the oil fields, but if you got it, they're in Texas and Colorado and Wyoming and New Mexico and North Dakota, and I think even Ohio. I don't know all the places now. But you're going to open different divisions. That's, you can't do it when you're too busy already.
Yeah.
You have to be able to clear those things up. And I think what you're doing is teaching people how to expand their business just as much as anything else.
Yeah. Well, that's a keen insight that you've gleaned, which means I'm telling it the right way. So I'm glad that I'm saying it in a way that you're picking it up the way I intended, because so many people I come across, had a guy today, you know, he had signed up to, he had applied, and he's like, okay, you're good. You should be in this. And he comes back and he says, well, you know, I really don't think I'm ready to exit. I'm good. And I had to do the whole thing again. I'm like, listen, this is not about you leaving the business unless you mm-hmm. want. I just want to show you the option. Don't you want options? I mean, because right now you're required to be there every day. I just want to show you options. I'll give you the option where you can wake up and go to the office, or wake up and go play golf. Option to wake up and go to the office, or option to get up and go ride your motorcycle. That's what I want to do. This is all I'm showing, is the options. What you do with the option is completely up to you. Don't go to a restaurant that only offers one thing. Go to a restaurant that has options. What I do as a coach is I give entrepreneurs options. It shows them there's a menu of options. You can spend time with family. You can travel. You can open another business. You can open a new division. You can sleep all the time. You can exercise. You can get back in shape. It's whatever you want to do, but you can't do it if you don't change something. And I show you how to change it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome, man. I think about that, and I think about how important it is, because even if you don't want to exit your business today, like you're saying, if you get it so you can exit and exit your business without exiting, like you're saying, it gives you the option. It gives you the option to build your asset even further because you're not working in the business anymore. It gives you the option to really explore what is next for you. Because if we are stuck in our business working there, and something comes to a point to where we lose the love for the business, we need to move on for some other reason, the gift that you're giving people by what you're teaching them is the ability to explore other things. And that is so valuable, because a lot of the people that I'm introduced to near the end of their business career simply don't know what they're going to do. They've been in that thing grinding. I had a gentleman a couple of years ago that was in his 70s and said, I literally don't know what I was going to do if I sell this business. I can't sell my business because I don't know what I'm going to do. He was serious. This is where it's at. Grandkids. This has married. This is not somebody, but you get so used to that part of it, and that being part of you. What you're teaching people is not just being able to step back from the business and reduce stress. It's really about living a fuller life, because listen, we can get stuck in that thing and you're there, and that's not really good for anybody to do that. And it's powerful what you're teaching people.
I tell you, the way you put it there, Damon, is part of my goal long-term with my business, TRJD Enterprises, is I want to develop a whole network of certified coaches that can help all my clients in whatever area. So I already have my first one, and he's a mindset coach, a high performance mindset coach. His name is Dr. Justin Mosley. He's part of my Exeter Club mastermind. He also speaks at my workshops and comes to our retreats and things. And, but I think one of the things I need to do at some point, you know, I'd like to have a certified life coach that's part of my system to work on people's identity crisis. And it is a mindset, but it's different than what Justin does. But that identity crisis that I went through when I was no longer president CEO of that company, that was real. And my wife noticed it. She was like, something's wrong. And the problem is that in America, in our culture, probably Western culture, not just American, but in Western culture, our identity gets wrapped up in our business or our job.
Yeah.
You know, so what do you do? That's the question we ask. Well, who are you? Might be a better question, although odd to ask because we're not used to it. Who are you? Tell me about you. Rather than what do you do? Well, when I say what do you do, and I don't have a business card that says I am X, that's weird. And I didn't know that when I stepped away from day-to-day operations, I was going to be a business coach and I was going to do TED Talks and I was going to write books. That wasn't even on my radar.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was going to do. And I remember meeting with one of my advisors during that time. And I remember him looking at me and he goes, you're a teacher. That's what you are. I'm like, I get it. I taught school, but you know, he goes, no, you don't understand. You're a teacher. And I said, okay, well, what does that mean? He goes, I don't know what it means. He goes, but I know that's what you are. And so taking that again, coach, getting a coach, helping me kind of figure that out led me to now, Damon, I don't coach for free. I don't want anybody to get the wrong thing, but I would do this for free because the money, like, do I need the money? I've got other businesses. I do need money, but I've got other businesses. But this, if I won a $500 million lottery, like somebody just won a couple weeks ago, I would still do this because this is what God put me on the earth for. I'm good at it. I get energy from it. I love it. And it changes people's lives. What if that 70-year-old man you were talking to, what if God's been up there this whole time going, dude, I got this so much thing that's so much better for you, but you've got to get out of your own way. And it goes back to the arrogance. We think that's who we are. That's what we're good at. And nobody else can do it. And if we would just admit that that's not who we are, we're probably something bigger. We can do something else. We don't know what it is yet. And somebody else can do this. Our eyes and our opportunities would be opened up to so many new things. The world can be changed if we would just embrace the opportunity to get out of our business.
Let's just soak that in for a minute right there, because you dropped it. That was awesome.
Well, thanks.
That was awesome. That's all I'm saying. It's awesome. If you're just listening now for some reason, didn't hear it before, rewind it. Listen to what he's saying. Man, Jason, it's been awesome talking to you today. And for those of you that weren't here earlier, we had the real Jason Duncan on today. He's talking about exiting your business without exiting your business. Check out the real jasonduncan.com. Am I ready to exit.com? We didn't even talk about your business exit readiness assessment. Am I ready to exit.com? Get on there. There's a free assessment you have there. What else am I missing that I didn't bring up?
I think that's for that last thing, the am I ready to exit assessment. You know, I spent a lot of time building this, and it's right now it's in a Google form, which is probably not the sexiest way to deliver it. Well, my team and I are working on trying to figure out a better way to deliver this assessment. But this assessment was designed to tell people how close you are to exit. And so I had a lady sign up for it yesterday who was on our live yesterday, actually. Yeah. And she signed up and, you know, her question, you know, and I asked, why do you want to do this? She goes, I just want to know if I'm even ready to do this. Is it not is she mentally ready, but is the business ready? And that's the whole point. So I give this assessment and am I ready to exit.com. It's completely free. You go in and take it. And then after you take it, You may even qualify for a free coaching session with me to kind of go through it, but you will get a report that kind of goes through there. But some people will get a free assessment coaching session with me to kind of go through it.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Jason, for being here today. Again, we had the real Jason Duncan talking about exiting your business without exiting. The real Jason Duncan, TEDx speaker, business owner, business coach. Thanks so much for being here today, man.
It's been an honor. Thank you, Damon.
You bet. Hang out for just a minute, Jason. I want to say thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks, everyone, who shows up week in and week out and gives us the encouragement to keep going. Have a great rest of your week, everyone.